Hi, this is Steve Spangler from SteveSpanglerScience.com. You know, I've got the greatest job in the world, teaching people how to be amazing. Join me as we explore some of the secrets that I've recently uncovered on my search for how to be an amazing teacher. So what's the hot topic with new teachers, especially if you're a primary teacher? The number one question I get is, how do I just set up a center? We need science centers, and how do we do that? And again, I have to turn to the center expert, and it's Julie Ginsler from Hammond, Indiana, Maywood Elementary. Julie, are you up to talking to me about centers for a second?
I'm always up to talking to you, Steve.
Okay, now, 18 years of teaching, you've had centers. You know that teachers do a center. And if you're listening to this podcast and you don't know what a center is, you have to think back. You know, when I was in school, we didn't have centers. They basically just had a bucket of toys, and they dumped it out, and that was kindergarten for about, I don't know, what, 9 months. But now it's all structured.
That and a nap.
Yeah, that and a nap.
That's
and
right.
Some playtime. But now there's a center, and so I'd like to kind of have your opinion about some centers and some things that you do. Again, maybe a thematic time for kids to be able to play with something that under a general theme, if you know what I mean, where you might be studying, I don't know, animals, and there might be something special at the center with an animal. But Julie, tell me how you do centers, because I know it's a little bit different than how most people do them.
It is. You know, I have centers two different ways in my classroom. There's usually subject centers in my classroom. And we have a science center, and at the science table, it's always been the things that we've done already, the things that the kids would like to revisit. We always have some test tubes out there for things that they'd like to experiment on. Any of the living creatures that we have or things that we're growing are always contained in our science center. But then I also do them thematically. And if we're talking about snow, I'll have some Insta-snow in a tub for the kids to explore. There's going to be a center for books about snow. There's going to be a center where kids are making polar bear paws and those kind of things. So I set up centers, you know, several different ways in my classroom. And I think it's a good way to expose the children to various forms of thought that they can see these same types of items in different settings and start making connections for themselves.
I couldn't think of a better way for kids to be able to do their own inquiry. You know, there's self-directed inquiry, and then there's guided inquiry. And I think that part of that, when we teach kids, you have to put this piece into this piece, and then you hook this, or the step one, step two, step three. That's that guided inquiry. But if you were self-guided, I mean, if a child could really just kind of play and they were learning and making those discoveries, is that what you're finding in kindergarten, or is it a little too early
That's
for that?
That's very true. There's always times when, you know, that guided instruction is necessary. But there's some wonderful learning that can take place when the teacher steps outside of that role and just becomes a facilitator, providing the materials, answering the questions, posing other questions to the child to discover something beyond what they were thinking of. A teacher has to wear many hats.
And the center time is a perfect time for them to be able to explore that.
Absolutely.
The last part that's there that I thought that was interesting with what you do with centers is sometimes if you're going to do a unit, let's say your snow unit, you might have your snow unit scheduled for, I don't know, the first week in December, let's say. Maybe the very end of November is when you actually start to put some of the things out so that they get a chance to play ahead of time. Is that right? Doesn't it lose the surprise of the unit that you're actually going to do? Or tell me why you introduce kids early.
It doesn't. You know, you sort of want to tempt them. You want them to have a little taste of what's to come and to get excited about it. But you also want them, if there's some guided instruction that needs to be done, or if you have a specific purpose for the materials that you know that they are going to need to accomplish, you want to give them time to free explore those materials first. They need to get that play out of their system so that they can focus on the task at hand.
You know, they say that great teachers are made by the teacher next door, and thank goodness I had a really good teacher next door, and I'm still learning because the teacher told me, play with a purpose. She said, let kids get it out of their system. And in particular, this was a battery and bulb and switches kind of unit. So the kids got to hook the battery to the bulb and to a switch. And, you know, they want to play with that so much that when you're trying to teach, they don't want to listen. They just want to build a circuit. And so that week ahead of time almost lets them do it. And this is with third graders. You know, third graders don't necessarily have centers, but kind of the same philosophy holds true, doesn't it?
I think it holds true at any age. You always need to discover the things that you're working with before you actually put them to use.
Julie, you're filled with great ideas. We're going to come back to you all the time, I'm sure. I greatly appreciate your time today. It's Julie Ginsler, Maywood Elementary from Hammond, is it Hammond, Indiana? Is that
Hammond,
where you are? Thank
Hammond,
you.
Indiana.
Just make sure that I'll pronounce it correctly when you pick me up at the airport. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
Okay, I'll see you in a couple weeks. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Steve.
Now it's time for you to learn how to do something truly amazing by visiting stevespanglerscience.com or catch my weekly audio and video blogs at stevespangler.com. One word of warning, just watch out for those flying potatoes.